Welcome back, everybody. This is Dino Wizard coming to you with the Drunk Mustache Reviews. I'm here with TG, as always. How was your week, TG?
That was pretty good. It was my first week back in the country after I was gone for a while. I missed the constant drinking, but hey, what else is new?
I don't know. You going on some Alestorm shenanigans going down to Mexico?
Possibly.
I don't know.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
Well, our weekly sponsor this week is Soylent Green. Asking us what our favorite Soylent Green product is like asking us which of our children we want to eat. They're all too good to choose. Just one. Soylent Green. It's delicious. All right.
So you're looking good.
This week we're looking into three albums. We've got Hailstorm's cover EP, North Lane Mesmer. That one actually slipped my mind for a second. No offense to North Lane, but that is kind of a weird title for an album.
And then, well, I've got an opinion on that. You just wait.
And we've got Lord Melodrama. So we're going to start off with the Hailstorm EP. And here I've got a brief taste of their cover of Still of the Night.
In the still of the night, I hear the wolfhound honey sniffing around your door. In the still of the night, I hear my heart beating every day, telling me I gotta have more.
Again, just a brief taste of that for all you folks at home who haven't necessarily listened to that album. Hailstorm is actually pretty well known for their covers. They've done a lot of good cover music in the past, and some songs that maybe you don't necessarily think about being good for a rock/metal group to be covered. They did some pop music songs, and they do have some interesting takes on that. In this album, they cover some more traditional rock songs. They've got Still the Night by Whitesnake. They've got I Hate Myself for Loving You by Joan Jett and Blackheart. And they got Ride the Lightning by Metallica, of course. TG, I'll turn it over to you. What were your thoughts listening to some of these covers?
Well, so I've never actually listened to Hailstorm at all myself, so this is actually my first taste of their music. But, I've never listened to Whitesnake or really anyone else that they covered except for Metallica and Joan Jett. But I got to say, like, Lizzie Hale, she's got the voice for that 80s style hard rock and hair metal sound. She definitely has that. I'm going to be blunt. I fucking hated the Heathens cover because fuck 21 Pilots. I can't fucking stand them, but that's another rant for another day. I thought she did pretty – I thought the band as a whole – excuse me. I thought the band as a whole did a pretty solid cover of the Soundgarden song Fell on Black Days. She's definitely not Chris Cornell, but, I mean, who is, right?
Nah, that's –
the only
such a unique vocalist. It's hard to compare.
Yeah, I mean, and I kind of – that was actually the same thought I had when it came to the Ride the Lightning cover. It was a competent cover. I enjoyed listening to it, but it just didn't quite do it for me the same as the original. Like, the instruments were on point, but it's hard to put my finger on it. It felt like they were missing a certain aggression that Metallica had when they recorded Ride the Lightning. And try as she might be, Lizzie Hale is not James Hetfield. I'm sorry. She was good, but she's just nowhere near James.
Yeah, I will.
But overall, this was a fun listen. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, first off, it's a short EP. It's not like a full album. So, I mean, first off, I want to say Lizzie Hale is probably one of the better vocalists in rock right now, just pure vocalist. But that said, I think their selection of some of these songs was kind of strange. Like, I guess James Hetfield being a vocalist for Ride the Lightning is a note, but for me, what stands out about the group is the fact that it's Lizzie's voice punctuated by, you know, some good music in between. Because I don't think any of the band is really bad. I just don't think they're, like, amazing. So, like, Ride the Lightning was a strange choice because there's, compared to the total length of the song, there's hardly any vocals in it at all.
Right.
And so that was kind of a weird choice. And I do agree. I listened to them, like, right next to each other, the Metallica and the Hailstorm version. It was weird because I think the actual instruments were maybe, like, a pitch higher. But other than that, the song was unchanged. So I couldn't tell what was different about it, but it just didn't feel the same. Like,
I know. It's like they weren't quite fighting the same internal demons that the members of Metallica were when they wrote this.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have the passion or the aggression, and I felt like that's another thing that I had with some of these songs. It felt like Lizzy was really trying to make a song more like angry or metal than it necessarily had to be, like in the Heathen song, where she was like scream. She was trying her best to scream without screaming half the time, and I was like, "That's not what that song is about at all."
And she could barely keep up with the verses on that song, which was a shame because the chorus was boring as fuck on its own. But when it got to the verses of Heathens, I'm like, "Will you just shut the fuck up and go to the next track already?" And then I realized, "Oh, I can hit next."
Yeah. I mean, that one had a lot of problems. It seemed like they were trying so hard to make that more of a metal song than it actually was, and it just fell flat on its face. The Still of the Night cover was great, though. I really liked that. I liked the Hate Myself for Loving You. Fell on Black Days.
Oh, yeah. I thought she did a great Joan Jett. That was awesome.
Yeah. Fell on Black Days was another good one. And, again, if you look at those are songs where her vocals really elevate the song. So I loved those. Those were really good choices. But overall, I think it was kind of a – some of these were just kind of weird and out of left field. It wasn't the normal twist that I like to see when I was listening to Hailstorm, like when they covered some of the other songs they've covered, like Up All Night to Get Lucky or, you know, something – some it keeps escaping me. Damn it. Anyway, they've covered a bunch of pop songs and they get an interesting take on it. The thing that I didn't like about this was because these were mostly rock songs. I guess Heathens being the exception. Obviously, you don't like Heathens. I didn't like their take on Heathens. So I thought the song choices were interesting. But, you know, at the end of the day, Hailstorm's a pretty good intermediate band. They're not really metal, but they're pretty good at playing the instruments, and they're pretty good at doing their job. And I really do like the EP.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, if nothing else, like, this has got me interested in them. I might go check out a couple of their full-length studio albums once I get a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely worth a shot. I mean, if I'm just judging the EP, I would give it, like, a 6, I guess.
I can agree with that.
It's like, and keep in mind, I grade on a bell curve, but, you know, it's not, nothing really blew me away. Nothing like, oh, this is something that I would look forward to listening to, you know, repeatedly. But, I mean, there were some good covers, so nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, this was worth listening to for the Joan Jett cover. That was probably the standout track for me on this.
I don't know. For me, it was Still of the Night, but I, you know. To each their own. They were both very powerful.
Sure.
They were both very, like, powerful vocals that covered it. So, yeah, I mean, I get
what I mean, like I said, she's got that 80s hair metal sound, like, and she did it without that stupid wail that a lot of them back then had. And I as much as I like that era of metal and rock, that was one thing that always kind of irritated the hell out of me. There was only one band I ever thought did that well, and that was Anthrax with Joey Belladonna, but I'll kind of cut myself off there.
Yeah, a tale for another time. Moving
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Moving on, we've got North Lane, Mesmer. I've got a clip from their track Solar from that album. So here's a quick listen. So that's pretty, their songs are a lot more stretched out, so it's kind of hard to get a good grasp of them, but hopefully that gives you an idea of what you're working with. So Northlane, I guess like Hailstorm for you, TG, Northlane's not a band I'm thoroughly familiar with, but I got a good feel for their style in this album. I actually kind of enjoyed it a lot. I think they were, keep in mind, if you're a new listener, you've never heard of them before, they're kind of a metal band that's on the verge of screamo, but not quite there. So if you like, if you don't like that kind of stuff, it's going to be not your style. But I did like a lot of their stuff on this album. It was very haunting and chilling, and it kind of had a good vibe. I guess as compared to some of the pop albums we've listened to, it felt that like they were singing to me instead of singing at me, even though the songs clearly had a message, and I enjoyed that. So, TG, this was your recommendation. What did you think of the album?
So, this band first came to my attention about 2 years ago when they changed vocalists. They started out, like, I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent here about the band's history, but I promise I have a point eventually. But they originally started out as kind of your run-of-the-mill, heavy, chuggy, just metalcore, hardcore act. But back in 2015, they switched. Their old vocalist had to quit for health reasons, and that's when they got the guy they have now. The main difference is this guy has an amazing singing voice, at least as far as metal bands go. So the album before this one, Node, kind of represented a shift in their sound that was less focused on just being heavy for heavy's sake, and they started incorporating this sort of floaty atmospheric sound. And I'm not gonna lie, that album took a couple of tries to grow on me. So back to Mesmer itself, this one was kind of dropped as a surprise about 2 or 3 months ago. I think March sounds about right. They dropped a couple of hints on social media, had a couple of like alternate reality game style puzzles that basically ended up, you know, the release date for the album, and then just out of nowhere it dropped. And so there was not a whole lot of time for a lot of hype to build up for this. And I'm probably going to – their fan base is really rabid and kind of circle jerky at times. So I just want to make sure I make this clear. I like Northlane. I like this album. It's just like you just said. It's a lot of fun to listen to. But I will say, if you're looking for something with a lot of musical complexity, this isn't it. If you listen to the opening track, Citizen, and maybe the second track, you've basically heard most of the album. You've got the songs 0-1 and Paragon as the two other more or less standouts. Everything else is usually kind of the same bouncy, kind of ethereal-sounding metal. But, you know, and that's okay, though. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's very vocally driven because, again, I love the guy's singing voice, and he screams at the right points. It's good stuff. It's nothing to go raving to Pitchfork about, but it was an enjoyable listen, and I just kind of hope they'll do something a little bit more interesting on the next album.
Yeah, I can't really blame them for kind of keeping that. It was a good sound overall, though. I think that was what stuck with me throughout, because I couldn't really place one song or another.
Yeah.
But it was the general feel of the album that stuck with me, and that left me with an impact. Like you said, it's nothing unbelievable. It's nothing unique, really. It's just kind of a good album in general to listen to. I wish I could take away more from it other than that, but yeah, out of for transparency's sake, we actually had to listen to like 6 or 7 albums this week, and out of all the albums, this was one that stuck with me the least. Like, there was nothing about it that I really had positive or negative about it, other than just in general, you know, I thought it was pretty good, had a good vibe, and I liked the kind of tone and that it set for itself.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I just, you know, if I had to grade it, it's just going to be pure right down the middle 5 average. There's just nothing else to
Yeah, I mean, it's a very much vocally driven album, like I said. Like, if you listen to Citizen, pretty much it's the same riff over and over, and almost the entire melody is driven by the drum and the singer. That's just kind of their signature. But if you like this, and this goes for anybody listening too, if you did dig this, you ought to check out Node, their previous album with Marcus Bridge, their current singer. That was pretty much the blueprint they were trying to recreate. But you can actually pick out songs. They have their own unique identity from track to track on that album. So if you like this, you'll probably love that one.
It might be worth checking out. Honestly, at least it kind of got me on Northlane's radar, because I have never heard of them before up to this point. Honestly, when you brought it up, I was having a hard time telling, like, is Northlane the band or is Mesmer the band? I'm not even sure right now. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't think they were bad, and in the future I might check them out. I just think usually when I'm listening to an album, I want a little more diversity. I just don't. And I didn't really get that here. Wasn't bad, just not great.
Yeah.
So, five out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
Moving on. Our last album that we're looking at is Lord Melodrama. So, TG, do you want to kind of give the introduction since your friend was the one who recommended this to us?
Yeah, sure. So, like you just implied, it was a friend of mine over here that recommended this to me. He's a huge, huge, huge Lord fan, and he's been telling me for years that I need to give her another shot, and I never really did, because I feel like I say some variation of this phrase every time we record, but I'm just not that big into pop music or really non-metal music in general. I mean, you can laugh at me for that, but I mean, I know what I like. And I had heard her song Royals, and I'm like, okay, it's a little different, but okay. But a couple of months ago, it was announced she had a new album out, and my friend's like, dude, you got to check out her new single, Greenlight. It's the shit. It's awesome. You got to listen to it. So I put it on, I listened to it, and I ended up listening to it like 5 times in a row. If I can kind of jump ahead a bit, that's probably my favorite track on the album. It's catchy, and it's so weird because if you read the lyrics, it's a really fucking depressing song, but the music is really upbeat. If I were the type of person to go to the club to dance, like, that would be a song that might get me moving in the club, but I don't dance, and, you know, you can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind, something, something, something. I don't give a fuck, but...
Fair enough. All right.
But, you know, it's really hard to put into words because, I don't listen to a lot of pop, but this album really did stick with me. It's very much a breakup album. And my friend told me that. He's like, it's a breakup album. So if you don't like that, then tough luck. But in spite of that, it had a lot of really standout tracks, and it didn't feel really cynical and mass produced in its emotion like the Katy Perry album we did a couple weeks ago was. Like, that one, she was clearly working through some shit, but it felt like she was doing it for the sake of ratings. With this one, it feels like she had some rough shit happen and then happened to write it down to record an album with. And I don't know, I can appreciate that. It was a really enjoyable, if not a little depressing, to listen to, but as far as pop albums goes, it's probably one of the few that I've really thoroughly enjoyed over the last several years.
So, yeah, and I wish I had known that you were going to say Greenlight was your favorite, because I would have queued that up, but I've got a clip from Sober, so let me...
Yeah, play go it. Ahead and play it.
Oh God, I'm clean out of air in my lungs, it's all played it so nonchalant. It's time we dance with the truth. Move along with the truth.
And again, in just that short clip, you can kind of get a idea of what you were saying, where she could feel kind of like the panic and her emotions, like, you know, trying to deal with the fact that she's not in a good place because of what's going on in her life. But yeah, back to the actual album as a whole. First off, the Katy Perry comparison was dead on, because that was what I first thought of when I listened to this. I listened to this initially in a traffic jam, for where I was sitting there for 2 hours trying to go literally 4 miles, which is never a fun experience. But listening to this album actually kind of took me away from all that. It was pretty hypnotic. The tempo of the songs and the vocal range that Lorde has, really, I think she's got a good grasp on what she's capable of, which is something I didn't see in the Katy Perry album. Katy Perry seemed to really try to press her vocals and try to stretch them out to push herself, whereas Lorde, I think, really moves the music around her vocals, and it kind of gives you a better vibe and a better feel of, you know, for the tempo and for the sound in general. And I did really enjoy that. And I guess going back to kind of what we were talking about with the North Lane album, Lorde clearly had some stuff that was going on in her life, but she didn't feel obligated to shove it in your face. And I mean, kind of like with Katy Perry, it felt like I was being sat down and taught a lesson about whatever's going on. And I was like, I don't like it when Bono and other people feel like they need to sit me down and tell me about, oh, this is what life is like for me, and this is what you can learn from it. Like, I don't care. Yeah. Lorde did a much better job of singing for me and kind of dealing with her issues instead of feeling like she had to work through her issues with the audience. And I like that a lot more. So yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect from this album. I would say that the one thing about Lorde, it seems like very similar to her previous album, a lot of this music. But I think that's partly because of what we just talked about. Lorde has a good grasp of what she's capable of, and she's slowly expanding what her range is, especially considering her age. I think that's an important thing to note, that we're still watching a musical artist as she progresses, and that's also a kind of a cool thing for me. So there was a lot of really neat stuff to take away from this album.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I mean, of the ones we listened to this week, it probably wasn't my favorite, but I could definitely see a lot of where it was a very well thought out, very musically inclined album, where she put a lot of effort into the tone, the pitch, the tempo of everything. It was all very well thought out, whereas a lot of these other albums were just, even though I might like them more because they're in my genre, they were more just people going out and playing what they already knew how to play. Lorde clearly put a lot of thought into this album, and I appreciate that. And I thought it was a very good album overall. I gave it like, I'd say low 7. I was kind of debating whether I didn't want to go up to an 8, because usually an 8's where I buy an album. But it felt like it was a 7-ish kind of thing, where it was really good. If it was in my genre, I might enjoy it more. But clearly there's a lot of talent there, and I'm curious to see how things will progress as Lorde gets older and kind of gets more experience in the music field.
Yeah, I mean, I've probably listened to Green Light and Homemade Dynamite, like, I've kind of lost count how many times I've played those songs on my stereo at home. And it just blows my mind, because like you said, she's only 20. She's like only, what, 20, 21, and she's already putting out music like this. Like, this might be one of the few pop artists that I actually actively follow. This was a really surprisingly good album to me.
Oh, yeah, and I was surprised by how much I enjoyed this album. I mean, unlike some pop albums, I kind of knew what I had to expect from Lorde, so I kind of was like, I'm probably going to enjoy this decently. I actually enjoyed this a lot. Like I said, that the fact that I kind of made it through that traffic jam, you know, without even really thinking about it, made me feel a hell of a lot better. That's an hour of my life I'll never get back, but at least I got something out of it. So, you know, I really enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, that's the fastest 40 minutes of music I have listened to in a long time.
Yeah, true that. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. TG, you got any messages for our fans out there?
Stay in vegetables, eat your school, and study drugs.
Fair enough. Yeah, what he said. All right. Well, as always, you can, if you got any requests for albums that you'd like us to cover, shoot us a note down in the comments, and we'll get to them as soon as we are able.
And of course, if you disagree with our opinions, that's just like, you know, your opinion, man.
I was going to go with fuck you, but I mean, hey, whatever floats your boat, man. All right.
No, take it easy, man.
Whoa. Don't shut me up. Don't shut me up. No. All right. But anyway, sorry. We'll see y'all next week. Well, you know, we won't see you, but you'll listen to us next week because you're nice, right? And you'll come back, right? Right?
I, for one, welcome our podcast audience overlords.
Okay. Well, if we have an outtake section. Good night, everybody.